In this recording, we will finish looking at the unbiblical and unethical teaching called the prosperity gospel, starting by looking at an example of how teachers of the prosperity gospel misinterpret scripture. An example would be 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. The article says, this verse is interpreted by prosperity teachers to mean that God wants all believers to prosper in all things. Furthermore, their interpretation of this verse makes clear their claim that material prosperity is inseparably linked to spiritual growth. Oral Roberts, regarded by many to be the father of the prosperity gospel movement, claimed at the beginning of his ministry, during a time of search for direction, that God miraculously led him to 3 John 2, which he understood as a revelation of the prosperity gospel. Kenneth Copeland has also built his ministry around this faulty interpretation of 3 John 2. If we study this verse carefully, we see it is not a carte blanche approval of prosperity gospel teachings. However, John's purpose in writing 3 John 2 was not to teach doctrine. It was simply to open his letter with a greeting. Secondly, let's look at the word prosperity as it occurs in this verse. This word in the Greek, which is used only 4 times in Scripture, does not mean to prosper in the sense of gaining material possessions, but rather means to grant a prosperous expedition and expeditious journey, or to lead by a direct and easy way. The wording of modern translations, such as the New International Version, even reflect this nuance of the word. Therefore, it is evident that teachers who understand 3 John 2 to teach prosperity theology are misinterpreting the text. The author therefore concludes that prosperity theology is faulty for the following reasons. 1. The prosperity gospel is built upon a faulty understanding of the Abrahamic covenant. 2. The prosperity gospel is built upon a faulty understanding of the atonement. 3. The prosperity gospel is based upon a faulty understanding of the biblical teachings on giving. 4. The prosperity gospel is based upon a faulty understanding of the biblical teachings on faith. And 5. The prosperity gospel in general has been constructed upon faulty biblical interpretation. It also has a faulty view of the relationship between God and man. Simply put, if the prosperity gospel is correct, grace becomes obsolete, God becomes irrelevant, and man is the measure of all things. Whether it is the Abrahamic covenant, the atonement, giving, faith, or the biblical interpretation of any given verse, the prosperity teacher seeks to turn the relationship between God and man into a financial quid pro quo transaction. Note, quid pro quo means something that is given to a person in return for something they have done. Dr. Chris Wright aptly says, now we should certainly affirm what the Bible says about God's blessing, including material blessings, about the miraculous power of God's Spirit and the victory of God over all that crushes and curses human life. But many promoters of this teaching distort the Bible, if they use it at all. They appeal to human greed or exploit human need. They have no place for the Bible's teaching on repentance, on suffering, and on taking up the cross. They succeed only in enriching themselves and in indulging in a consumerist, wealth-flaunting lifestyle that is utterly contrary to the teaching and example of Christ. This is surely the idolatry of greed. In closing this section, it is also important to say something about doing hard work, rather than making careless prophetic utterances. Andy Mills, in his excellent article, 10 Key Points About Work in the Bible Every Christian Should Know, makes the following key points. 1. Work is part of God's big picture. 2. Our actual work matters to God, now and eternally. 3. God provides us with unique skills, gifts, and talents, and calls us to particular roles and activities. 4. Quality, character, and ethics are foundational for our work. 5. We should work as if yoked to Jesus Christ. 6. Our work should be centered on service to others. 8. The use of wealth and our investments should be directed by God. 9. God's work multiplies through relationships and through the local church. And 10. Work is a gift from God. Dear facilitator, so many of our pastors are caught in the prosperity gospel trap. They see these preachers on TV driving expensive cars, wearing white suits and lots of gold jewelry, etc. And they see that as the way they should go. Please teach this outcome in such a way that by the end, your students would rather want to follow Christ's example, who lived a very simple life and warned about the dangers of wealth.